The online ashram presence has really been a fantastic resource during this lockdown, as many of us have experienced. And we're very proud to announce that we have a new medium for you to connect and contribute to. The Siddhapath blog is officially live, and you can stay tuned for weekly posts from members of the ashram community on all things sadhana, including meditation, philosophy, self-inquiry, and the guru-disciple relationship. And of course, we'd love you to contribute to this. You can check it out at siddhapathblog.com. And also follow the ashram on Facebook and Instagram to stay up to date.
We're going to do some goddess mantras. We're going to do uh, 54 goddess mantras. But before that, I'm going to say hello to the kids. It's time for kids darshan. So, which camera's on? This one?
You can bring that close if you want to. Oh.
Okay. So hi, you kids out there in radio land. Do you even know what a radio is?
Podcast.
What?
A podcast.
Back when we used to go around in horses and carriage. So I say, hi, Sammy. Hi, Sammy. And hi, Ocean. And Harvey and Leo. Hello. And also Vaishnavi and Santoshi and Josh. Hello to you. And also in Melbourne, Finley and Liam. Hello, Finley and Liam. And up in New South Wales, Rafi and Amalia. Hi, Rafi and Amalia. Welcome. Rafi, it's your birthday tomorrow. Yes, it's Rafi's birthday. You and David Ma have almost the same birthday. Very good. That's it. So we're going to be doing the goddess mantras, which will come up on the screen. These are the bija mantras, or seed mantras of the different forms of the goddess. The goddess is one, but she has many forms, is various. It has many moods and dispositions. And so these mantras, Om, repeat after me, Om Aim Rim.
Om Aim Rim.
Klim Krim Shrim.
Klim Krim Shrim.
Dum.
Dum.
Parashaktye Namaha.
Parashaktye Namaha.
Om Aim Rim Klim. Om Aim Rim Klim Krim Shrim Dum. Parashakye Namaha.
Om Aim Rim Klim Krim Shrim Dum Parashakye Namaha.
And we pray for the goddess, for grace, for health. The world is filled with madness right now. We hope that the madness ends and everyone is restored to love and joy. And very good, happy birthday also to our goddess. And so let's begin. We'll do Gajanan at the beginning, which is a prayer to Sri Ganesh, who opens all the doorways. So let's do that.
Oh,
Oh,
Occasion. So I asked Devima what I should do tonight. And she gave me an answer.
Pardon?
I asked you what program I should do tonight. But then I've gotten her to agree to do the talk on Navaratri in a couple of weeks, so there's a lot to look forward to. I always like to begin by quoting Baba. He began all his programs by saying in Hindi, "Sabko barasanmane ke saath premse hardik swagat." With great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And he always said, "Welcome other people with love. Welcome yourself with love. Welcome other people with love." And that's the essence of spirituality. He also wrote, and this is in a book of poetry, spiritual poetry that he wrote quite close to the end of his life, called Reflections of the Self. These are a few short poems from it. He said, "Awake, dear one, awake. At long last, open your eyes. Awake, abandon your sleep of illusion. It is foolish to sleep all the time." And that's the scripture always talks about that, an awakening, as though we're asleep to our true nature. Baba writes, "In your hand, dear brother, hold wisdom's torch. Wear the glasses of right understanding. Find the embodiment of supreme joy. Accomplish something for yourself in this world." And one more. "The one called consciousness, the self, is brimming with immense joy. Free of care and old age, it radiates eternally, never fading. That is your true home in which you dwell forever." Reflections of the self. So Devima asked me, I asked Devima, and Devima told me, "Do this, gentlemen." So, this is Baba. These are some of Baba's question answers and statements from Ganeshpuri and also from his world tours. And this is Baba back in Ganeshpuri. This is one of our question answer sessions with him in his room. He's wearing the little lapel microphone. It's just to record. It didn't amplify, it just recorded. And that's why we have this record of those great talks that he gave. Next.
He's got the mystic cross on his palm.
Hmm?
He's got the mystic cross on his palm. It's very
strong. Is that right?
Yeah, look. Where? Look at that M on his right hand.
God, that's very surprising.
That's
Next. Beautiful. This is Baba on tour.
That's open.
It looks like Oakland Ashram, yeah.
That's the wall in the Oakland courtyard.
Yeah. Next. I think that's in Australia in 1974. That picture. Yeah. And is there one more? This is on tour. Probably in Fallsburg, and Guru Mai Malti is translating, and Baba's speaking there. Okay. Oh, one more. You never can get too many pictures of Baba. He was surely the most photogenic human being I've ever seen. But anyway, this is in the courtyard in Ganeshpuri. Sitting on his perch, that's mission control, that's where everything happened, right around in the courtyard. And he's sitting with, with Sevananda, Noni, and other devotees there. Okay. Okay, so some question answers and various things with Baba. First one is a question answer from those days, from my Ganeshpuri days, the early 70s, from one of those sessions in Baba's room. And this had a big impact on me, this particular answer. Chandra, who was one of the old timers who I'm still in touch with, and I talked to her quite frequently, and she was the cook on the tours later, an American girl then. She's still an American girl. A little older. Anyway, Chandra says, "Some days I feel indifferent and rebellious, and all the love seems to have gone. On those days I feel awkward and dishonest when I bow to you and Baba Nityananda. I know that I'm just passing through a phase, but somehow that doesn't satisfy me when I bow down. Is it best on these days to bow, pranam, in spite of the lack of love, or to refrain from bowing until the feeling of irreverence has gone?" It's a very 1970s sadhana type question. So what do you think about that? Baba's answer really struck me. Baba said, "You should not give up the pranam, whether or not you feel love inside. The mind passes through many phases, indifference, lack of faith, rebellion, overactivity, instability, despair, and self-injurious thoughts." I guess that's tearing thoughts. "Let your mind be in any state. You must compel your body to do good deeds." So I was a bit surprised by Baba's answer, but it gave me a real insight that if you went the other way, you're letting your moods run your life, and instead of your higher principles, the discipline and and what you know to be true. So Baba was saying, don't let your moods run your life. Don't become so at the effect of your moods. Baba says, this is why we attach importance to ritual in this country. Yeah, it's not that the people who perform ritual wait till they're in a really good mood, then they do it. They show up at the appointed hour and they do it. And if they're not in that good mood, they burn through it. Excuse me, I can't be there now. I'm not feeling that way. In show business, they call that being a professional or a trooper. So I got from this question, this one question, I saw that I had to live the life there no matter what I was going through. I had to go through the day appropriately, no matter what I was going through inside. In fact, it's better just to handle that inside and then go through the day. And Gurdjieff says the same thing, says, don't express negative emotions. Okay to have negative emotions, but don't express them, because when you express them, you spread them. Very much like the coronavirus. Little droplets of negative emotions get spread. Unless that's why it's good to wear a psychic mask. Even if your mind is rebelling, it doesn't matter. At least your body has bowed to the Lord, worshipped him, and chanted his praise and name. Therefore, continue to bow. Kabir says in this context that if the mind becomes rebellious, do not let the body follow the mind. Keep it engaged in outer forms, in bowing to the Guru, in performing worship and arti. It means do your duty. Do what you're doing, what you know, and carry on. When there's no love in the heart, it is all the more important to stick to the outer forms, and one should stick to them stubbornly. After love has arisen, it is its own ritual, its own expression. Only when pure love springs from inside can you dispense with outer forms, because love is its own worship. Love is an end in itself. So he says, when you reach a certain state, then you don't have to do anything except follow your own inclination. But it's not the negative inclination, then it's a joyous inclination. After that has arisen, you do not need things like bowing to the guru and other devotional expressions. One poet says, when love for the beloved or for a saint arises within one, one gets free from all outer restraints and obligations. So, it brought up a very interesting question when I was looking at this and remembering the effect it had on me. Is inside the mind, inside the inner being, there are these two sorts of things, thoughts and feelings. Thoughts and feelings. And it's interesting to examine your attitude towards your thoughts and your attitude towards your feelings. Which one do you value more? Do you value your thoughts or your feelings more? Are your feelings big or small? Do you have small feelings or huge feelings? These are all interesting things to think about. Are your ideas fluid or are they intensely fixed? Do you have very strong opinions? And are they right? And are you ready to go to war about them or not? Actually, from a meditative point of view, all of these things are just flotsam and jetsam that are going by on the river of consciousness. Your thoughts, your feelings, your opinions, everything. So it's very interesting to look at this. In Gurdjieff's language, person who values his thoughts more than anything tends to become a lunatic, because he lives according to his principles in a fanatical way. And the person who tends to follow the feelings becomes a tramp. This is in Gurdjieff's talk, because his mood just follows his mood. He doesn't want to get out of bed today, he's in a bad mood. Next day gets out of bed, runs around, then goes back to bed, and so on. Anyway, for what it's worth, you can think about that. Okay, now I may get in trouble for the next one. I picked this out a long time ago, and I thought this would be really interesting because here we are, locked down in the pandemic. By the way, we're still in lockdown here in Melbourne, but the lockdown has apparently had a very, very good effect because the numbers are coming down and down and down, and it seems as though they're going to loosen the disciplines a little bit at some point, not too distant future. but the analogy between being locked down and being in prison was pretty clear. And so I had Baba's message to prisoners. See, Baba had the prison project, and different swamis and other teachers went into prisons and taught the inmates, it was a charitable work, to meditate. And a lot of them got a lot from it. And some of them came out later and came to the ashram, and that certain items were missing in the ashram after they came there. No, just being bad. But anyway, so I thought I'd I would share some of this. But then I discovered that, what's her name? Ellen DeGeneres got in trouble for saying how being in lockdown was like being in jail, because she was living in a $50 million mansion and she was liking it to jail. So she got in big trouble. Having said that, I'm going to do it anyway, because I think what Baba's saying is great. And you know, in astrology, they say that the 12th house is the house of these kinds of institutions. Ashrams, jails, hospitals, and mental asylums. These are all places where you can spend a long time and be locked down. So everybody's in a 12th house institution now, because if you're in lockdown, that's like being in a 12th house institution. So Baba gave a message to prisoners back in the 70s, and these are selections from what he said. Baba said, change your understanding, talking to the prisoners. Think that you're a yogi and you're pursuing your sadhana, your spiritual practice, in this particular place, in this particular moment. Immediately you'll experience a lot of joy. And you know, it's the similarity here is that if we conceive of this as a terrible constraint and we're all stuck and we want to be doing this, we'll be miserable. But if we say, okay, this is the way the rhythm of life is flowing, this is the way God's will is unfolding, this is reality, it's a good time to turn within and do my inner practice. A lot of things have been taken away, so it's a good time for practice. So, in a sense, I'm in an ashram, and then you flow with in harmony. Whenever our desires are out of harmony with reality, we're in trouble. Then we burn. When we can flow with what is and accept it and be content with it, then we grow. So, Baba says, most of the time, man experiences his own pain and his own pleasure according to his own understanding. You may have made many mistakes. Even now, people who are outside are making mistakes. But they forget their mistakes. Because you're inside these walls, you remember them. It's not so important whether you live inside or outside a jail. What is important, what is unusual, is to enter inside within yourself. Try to improve yourself on the inside. If you were to think very carefully, you would know that God has given you the best opportunity. He's given you the best opportunity to pursue sadhana, to pursue spiritual practices. He's given you the best opportunity to think of your own self and to remember God. He's also given you this opportunity to experience solitude. And of course, we know that Sri Aurobindo had spiritual experiences and even had an experience of the self while he was in jail. It actually happened. Baba says, this is very cute and naive, I would say. Whenever you have free time, you should all get together and should all sing Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. Isn't that charming? I can just see it. If you all sing this chant with great love, then God will visit you in your own prison. That's what we do here. Chanting in a solitary place has a lot of power. So improve your actions. Improve your understanding. Even now, nothing has gone wrong with you, except what's happened. Even now, you can become great. Man becomes good or bad according to his own understanding. Therefore, try to know yourself. Even in jail, maintain supreme peace. So what is he teaching you? Bhavana Rakho. That the quality of our lives is dependent on the way we look at it, not so much on externals. This peace will make waves of joy arise inside you. You have your own understanding. According to your own understanding, you have your own thoughts. Understanding is the view you take of your life, and from that view come certain kinds of thoughts. If your view says, oh, I've been given the short end of the stick, and so on, then all negative thoughts will flow from that. But if you think, oh, it's all the play of consciousness, it's all God's will, then positive thoughts come from that. According to your own thoughts, you have your actions. According to your own actions, either you have good fruits or bad fruits. So everything comes from your attitude, first of all. In your understanding, you feel you're a prisoner. According to the understanding of a prisoner, thoughts arise. Your entire mental condition is based on this understanding. You think of yourself as a prisoner, and you keep burning within yourself. You'll find millions of people outside who are burning inside just like you. So it doesn't matter. It's not just prisoners who burn, but everybody burns through their own psychology. If you have love for God, you can change this inner burning. If you love God, then even while living in jail, you're a priest. Inside man lies all bad thoughts and bad understanding. In the same way, good understanding, good thoughts, and good actions also lie inside man. So it's our choice, isn't it? We have that choice. Will you try to know your own self, to know who you are? What is inside you? What impels you? What impels you to go to such a place? What do you want now? When will your life be fulfilled? Think about it. Maybe first of all you want to be free from this jail, right? Change your understanding. Within a moment, even in a jail, you'll become free. Man should have understanding. Everybody is bound by the noose of his own karmas. I gave a course once, which was very well received. I'll give it again someday, maybe, which is called Freedom is a State of Mind. It could also be called Freedom is an Inner State. Freedom is a state of mind. It says, change your understanding. Within a moment, even in jail, you'll be free. Man should have his own understanding. Everybody is bound by the noose of his own karmas. The dancer is bound by the noose of dancing. A singer is bound by the noose of his own singing. I'm telling you, every field and every walk of life, every one of them is a jail. A person who has perceived the true nature of his own self can understand it. Even if you achieve all the goals, the external goals you have, it's a prison. A knower of the self knows that everybody's in a jail and that everybody is bound by the noose of his own karmas. Forget about being here. There's no point in you worrying about being in a jail. In the Gita, there's a verse which says, let bygones be bygones. I gave another course called Learn to Forget. Whatever is left, take care of that. You still have your future. You still have your future time. Take care of that. So Baba said, we carry so much burden by dwelling on stuff. This person said this to me. This person did that to me. I did this to that person. This happened. Oh, woe is me. And it's very hard to get out from under it. It's like a cloud. But we're carrying it. Nobody else is carrying it. And we could also try to let it go. Sit quietly with great peace. Experience God. Experience consciousness above you, below you, behind you, in front of you, all around you. Become absorbed in the thought of consciousness and the thought of God. Just as right now you're absorbed in the thought of being a prisoner, just for the sake of fun, why don't you close your eyes and experience something? Sake of fun. Then you'll understand whether you're in jail or in heaven. Only then will you know where you really are. I received many letters from prisoners saying, now I meditate, now I think of God, now I don't worry about whether I'm inside jail or outside. Very soon I'll be out of jail and I'll come and meet you. So that's it. So, there. So these are some question answers from his world tours. Question. Since I've been here, I've been wanting to cry and cry. And it doesn't have anything to do with what you're saying. Solid, vital, or peculiar. Baba says, A person generally cries for two reasons. One is pain and sorrow, and the other is joy and happiness. Whenever you're in a situation where you experience purity or something elevating, you express your feelings of love through crying. When I look at your face, I think you're crying out of love. That is what I observe. When you feel that, you can laugh. There are two kinds of people. They laugh or they cry when they see something that moves them in that way. So, Baba says, there's a center within the human being that's a reservoir of love. When it overflows, you cry. That's just how it is. When the heart is filled with love, there's no language. No language can communicate love. Tears are the only medium through which we can express our love. Because there's no technique and no language, peacefully we have to cry. There is no other way. These are several peculiar questions, okay? Question. This is very peculiar. My desire to love you is great, but I feel very separate from you, as I do from myself and nearly everything else. I even feel separate from my desire to love you, although I know it's there. Please speak about acceptance. Baba says, you try to love me. That is what separates you from me. If you love your own self, you'll love everybody. If a person wants to love somebody, but he thinks that person is separate from him, he just can't love him. Whoever has loved others has loved them with the awareness that they are his own self. A great being said, O Lord, you are me and I am you. This is my worship. Wonderful, isn't it? What a guy, huh? Question. Are you laughing or crying? Yeah. Question, I want to let you into my heart, but my armor keeps you out. How do I make the first chink in the armor? Another great answer of Baba. Baba, I love this. I've already entered your heart. What is this new idea that you want to let me into your heart? You're mistaken. You have the armor of wrong understanding. Even before your father, I entered your heart. So I understand that I'm already in your heart. Beautiful.
It's very mysterious. What?
And one more. I thought I should go into a more yogic one before meditation. You think I'll get in trouble for the prison one? Will they come after me, the ones who are torturing Ellen? Has she survived, or are they attacking her? Anyway. Question. Please explain the following. When I'm in bed, I feel like restricting the mantra to Om. I hear a constant sound like an electric motor. At times I concentrate on that. That's the question. So here at night we have the frogs in the pond. The frogs sound like a chorus. What kind of frogs are they? What?
Bubble bung.
But they all night long they're going.
Yeah, bongo
frog. They're like bongo frog, yeah. Bung, 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 bung. It's like that. Bung, 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 bung.
Banjo.
Banjo. They're like a banjo. So last year, a neighbor complained that we were playing music all night. It was just the frogs. Yeah. And so if you have that and you're in the ashram, then this question, it's just the frogs going. But it's a serious question about nada. Nada is the yoga of sound. There's several kinds of, many kinds of Laya yoga, Nada yoga, Raja yoga, Atta yoga, Baba would say. And Nada yoga is the is listening to the inner sounds. Before I met Baba, when I was studying with Haridas, that was one of the practices we did. We put earplugs in, and we would listen to inner sounds. And it's very interesting sadhana. Anyway, here's what Baba says. It's very good to concentrate on that sound. When a particular sound arises within, that is the mantra for you. It's like, if I asked you the question, what does your inner being sound like? What would you do? You'd have to close your eyes and turn within and listen inside. And first you'd hear outside noises, maybe the traffic going by and so on. And then you'd hear more subtle sounds, some background sound to your own consciousness. And you'd even start to wonder, is that a sound, outside sound, or is that some inner sound? And that question really doesn't apply. All you have to do is focus on whatever sound, the most subtle sound you can hear, and you just keep listening. And it's a way of stilling the mind on that sound. So that becomes your mantra, a sound mantra. He says, Baba says, lose yourself in listening to that sound. That is a good and great sadhana. Keep listening to that sound. That is a straight road. With faith, walk on that road. And I remember there was a Sikh lineage that did this Nada Yoga. They talked about the sound current. The sound current. The sound behind all sounds. If you listen attentively, you can get in touch with it. It's an automatic kind of meditation. You don't have to do anything but just listen and listen deeper and listen deeper and listen deeper, as deep as you can go, and just stay in that space of listening. He says, as you listen to that sound constantly, you'll begin to taste nectar at the root of your tongue. In the space of the Sahasra, there is nectar. A meditator, by listening to that sound, begins to taste that nectar. If you go to sleep listening to that, you'll hear it throughout the night, and you'll have a sound sleep called Yoga Nidra, the sleep of a yogi. Hearing that sound is a great attainment. Shaivism says that the divine sound is the greatest mantra. In fact, the word Om is a representation of that sound, the basic sound of the universe. What is the sound of this universe? If you were coming in from another universe, and then you would listen and you'd hear some sound. It'd be the sound of this universe. So listen to that sound. So that's a method you can try. We can do it in meditation. Why don't we try that for 10 minutes? And we'll meditate for 10 minutes. And after that, we'll have darshan. So meditate for 10 minutes, and we'll do the meditation of nada, the meditation of the sound current. So turn within. Let yourself settle down into that sound current. Okay. Good night, Devi Ma. So, meditate on, and first you'll hear the external sounds. You'll hear the little patter of little feet and the rustling of things. And then go behind those sounds. Hear the sound behind the sound. Till it's like a current, a sound current. And just be with that. We'll meditate now for 10 minutes.